All right, so in Taekwondo, there's this game that the Taekwondoers play. That's what I like to call them, to work on their balance. So I'm going to ask that Corey and Pate come up right now to show us this game. And I'm going to get them some theme music because we spare no expense here at the North Side. So here we go. This is from The Karate Kid. And we spare no expense with props. We even have bandanas that are St. Patrick's Day themed. And here we go. So this is a balance game because balance is a key in Taekwondo. So the idea is that you put pressure on each other to keep your stance. So I'm going to show you that right now. Now, the thing in Taekwondo also, they're trying to work together so that they become better at Taekwondo. So when that happens, this doesn't happen.
You're trash, bro. Your balance is garbage.
Yeah. So they get back in because the more pressure they're able to put on each other and remain unshakable, the better they're going to be at Taekwondo. Or a surprise where they think there's a lot of pressure, but all of a sudden hands move and they're able to keep their balance. It's the goal of Taekwondo training. Yes. Oh, where does that have to do with our lesson for today? I'm going to tell you right now. Because unshakable being, there's a little, so cute. That's Corey and Pate when he was a baby. So cute. So the more pressure that comes on you, or the more you're able to withstand when a surprise comes, the better you're going to become at Taekwondo, because you're not going to be shakable. You're going to be unshakable. You're going to be solid in your balance. Now, unshakable, I think, is a great characteristic, but it's not one that we talk about a lot. If you've ever been on online dating sites, you know who you are. You may list like three qualities about yourself, and they might be something like this. I'm a great cook, I'm kind, I'm life of Northside, right? That might be one. Or you might post, I'm generous, I have big hair, I'm smart. Or you might put like, I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Wait for it, there it is. But people, when they say, tell me three great traits about you, they usually don't list things like, I'm unshakable, I'm able to withstand stress and pressure, I don't give in when things get tough. But in my old age, I gotta tell ya, I think unshakable, able to withstand stress and pressure, doesn't give in when things get tough, are really wonderful qualities and characteristics, especially when it comes to having unshakable faith, standing strong when things go wrong. And that's the next focus of our Live Like Your Love series that we're doing. But just to recap, because this has been a very long series, I want you to read through what we've learned so far. And if this is your first time, it gives you a great recap of what we've been studying. Read with me. Act like you're truly free. Walk like you're righteous. Thrive like you're chosen. Step forward confidently like you're victorious. Endure like you're brave and strong. Rest like your power source is infinite. Function like you're purposefully designed. That's pretty amazing. And this week, read it with me. Stand like your faith is unshakable. What does it look like to have faith that is unshakable? Well, here's a working definition that we're going to use for faith this morning so we can begin on the same page. Faith is confidence and trust in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So unshakable faith is faith that does not get shaken or lose confidence and trust in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, when life happens. You know what I mean when life happens? When life happens. So what would be some examples of having your faith shaken? All of a sudden you don't trust God, you're not confident in God. What does that look like? Some of these things you might relate to. I know I can. You lose confidence and trust in God because someone you love got sick and maybe even died. You lose confidence and trust in God because you prayed for something for so many years and it was not answered the way you wanted it to be. You lose confidence in trusting God because you were the victim of someone else's sin, and it has deeply affected your life. You lose confidence in trusting God because you try and you try and you try and you try again, and you never seem to catch a break. You lose confidence in trusting God because someone you love didn't faithfully love you back. You lose confidence in trusting God because something bad happened to your child. You lose confidence in trusting God because another Christian didn't act like a Christian and hurt you deeply. You lose confidence in trusting God because you got burned by the church or a church leader who did not live according to God's purposes. You lose confidence in trusting God because God's word teaches against something you really, really want to do, and there seems like there's no way around it. You lose confidence in trusting God because you can't seem to feel happy or content or full of joy like you know Christians are supposed to feel. And maybe one or more of those things or situations caused your faith to become shaky, uncertain. Part of you doesn't know you can trust God or have confidence in Him anymore. Have you ever been there? I mean, be honest. God already knows you have. So part of standing like your faith is unshakable is being honest with the things that made you not trust God or made you not have confidence in God. And I'm here this morning, the whole basis of our series this morning is to tell you that you can have unshakable faith despite life happening, because God is always faithful. He is always faithful. And God's word has some awesome examples of unshakable faith. Hebrews chapter 11, if you read this, it's known as the famous faith chapter in the Bible, and its subheading is actually great examples of faith. I love how the first two verses of the message, the paraphrase of this goes. Look at this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. Do you love that? It is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what has distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Beautiful and beautiful description going into Hebrews 11, that this faith is the foundation in which we stand and do all of life, and there's some people that really stood out in the Bible with this type of faith. We're going to look at a couple. It's chock full of them in this chapter, but we're going to look at this one. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God. He warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, Noah built the ark. The ark is not a fable. You will have churches that teach you it's just a story, it's metaphorical, it didn't really happen to show you what faith could look like. No, our God is so big, this happened. It was not a fable or a story. And sometimes we don't even think about what faith it took for Noah to build this because it's such a cutesy story, you know, that we sing about and we teach the kids about, despite the fact that millions and millions of people drowned. All right, so it's really not that cute of a story. It's kind of a horrific story. But think about this faith that took. God tells Noah to prepare for something that had never happened before. Water had never fallen from the sky before. It was going to fall from the sky, not just a little, but so much that it would fill the entire world. God tells him to build something that has never existed before, to go into something that never happened before. It takes him about 50 to 75 years to build this boat, to pack up his family, to take two of every creature onto this ark in order to save humanity, to give him another chance at living righteous. That is a lot of faith to do that. That is not a mild little step of faith. That is a lifelong pursuit to follow what God has asked of him. Now, we can get freaked out when we feel the Holy Spirit telling us to give a hug to somebody. Oh, I'm not sure I'm hearing you right, God. Or we tell them, as God says, I want you to tell that person Jesus loves them. Ooh, that's scary. Or I want you to spontaneously go and pray with that person. Or I want you to quit a bad relationship. Or I want you to give beyond your tithe. And we can get tripped up and scared when God asks us to do something like that. Look at the faith of Noah. It's insane. Noah is going to stop his life to create and do something he doesn't even understand. That's unshakable faith. And it's weird. And the neighbors think it's weird. And his family has to think it's weird. And it's costly. And it's inconvenient. And it's sacrificial. But he says, I'm going to do what God asks of me because I have confidence and trust in the triune God. I have unshakable faith. And even if life happens, it doesn't work out the way I think it's going to work out, my faith is going to stand unshaken. Look at this example. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. So God tells Abraham to leave everything he knows, to leave everything, everyone he knows, every comfort he knows, every bit of security he knows, every place he knows to go get a good haircut or to find a doctor or where to get food or wash clothes or worship. He leaves behind all the conveniences and goes in faith to a place he knows nothing. He knows nothing. And he went without knowing any of the details. That is unshakable faith. Here's another example. Sometimes God asks us to do things that aren't just scary for us emotionally, but they can be scary physically. It was by faith that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. Now, I'm not afraid of heights, normally. But one summer, I had brought a group of girls to camp in Lake Geneva, and they had a zip line there. Now, their zip line, I've been on many zip lines before, but their zip line didn't really look all that secure upon inspection to me, right? And it made me even a little more alarming that a 14-year-old was putting on my harness, right, to go on this zip line. And when I got to the top of it, because it was several stories up, I looked down and I was freaking quite a bit. But I was not alone in my freaking because there was a platform next to me in which Laura Miller was also freaking out on. So we're both standing on these platforms with these 14-year-olds putting on our harness and looking at a very rickety zip line. And I was honestly just waiting for Laura to walk back down. And then I was going to go, but I needed her to first be the chicken to walk back down the stairs. So as I was waiting for Laura to not do this crazy event where we could lose our lives, like 10 or 15 girls that we had brought up to camp. So I don't know, Becca, were you there at this Lake Geneva youth camp? Maybe. You might have been there. They saw us up on the zip line. Oh, they're going to zip line. So then this crowd of girls gathered underneath us, which I realize I'm going to die in front of these girls. That's what I do, because I can't chicken out in front of them. I'd rather die in front of these girls. So as we stood on the platform, I knew two things. One, I'm going to jump because now we have a crowd, and you know I react to a crowd. And two, I'm going to jump before her. All right, because I had to make it a little more competitive. So I jumped, and I swung by the girls, screaming a scream that I've never heard come out of my mouth before, screaming past them to the end, and then coming back and screaming past them again, and then screaming past them again, until finally I stopped, and I was unharnessed, and I landed on the ground, and I was so thankful. It's not really important to the story, but Laura did jump too. Only after I jumped. It's not important though, right? I really thought I could die on this zip line. Have you ever felt that fear before? Where your heart races, where you're like, physically, I could die here. I could die. Think about walking through the Red Sea. Knowing that death was coming up behind you in the form of Pharaoh and his armies, and they weren't going to be kind to you. And knowing that in a split second, if the Lord decided, oh, maybe he thought everyone had gone through, or maybe he lost power or something crazy, puts the sea back. The horrible death of drowning, and most likely you're holding one or two of your hands of your children as this water could come down. It took faith to believe and confidently trust that God was going to hold back those waters long enough to walk through them. It really did. Sometimes we think of the story as like, oh no, it was so dry and they just walked through, it was so cool. It had to take faith. Because if the waters came down, you're dead. How much more powerful is God than a 14-year-old girl securing my zip line, right? We forget how powerful he is, how all sovereign and all control he is in. Listen to the last 9 verses of Hebrew. It's powerful words describing lives of people who had unshakable faith. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us. That's eternity. That's heaven, so that they would not reach perfection without us. I mean, what faith? Faith that remained unshakable, win or lose, live or die. Success and victory where everyone came out okay, or sawed in half, literally, for persecution because their faith was persecuted. Their confidence in God did not waver. That's unshakable faith. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, of course these people stood strong. They're like Bible superheroes. It's what Sunday school stories and songs are written about. It's what Bible series at Easter time are made of. But what about life today? You know, life today is different. But standing like your faith is unshakable shouldn't ever be different. Through the power of the Holy Spirit living us, we have the same potential as Abraham, as Noah, as Moses, and the martyrs to stand with unshakable faith. You know, there's a book titled Unshakable Faith, How Fitting, and it's written by a father and a mother, Monroe and Jerry May, and they write the story. The whole reason they wrote this story is to talk to other Christians that when life happens, you do not have to lose your faith. Well, life for them was their daughter dying of cancer at a very young age. Their whole book is about even when the most horrible thing that you could ever imagine can happen to you, you do not have to lose faith in who God is. What a powerful message. What a powerful message. What a gift of their daughter's life they are giving to the world to show. I remain standing despite the most horrible thing happening in my life. Many of you have heard of, it's a choice. That's our theme word, right? It's a choice. It's a choice to remain unshakable in your faith. Many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. She was 17 years old. She had a diving accident, which caused her to become a quadriplegic. And she writes this letter on the 50th anniversary of her diving accident. Here it is. Recently, I was at my desk writing to Tommy, a 17-year-old boy who just broke his neck body surfing off the Jersey Shore. He's now a quadriplegic. He will live the rest of his life in a wheelchair without the use of his hands or legs. When it comes to life-altering injuries, quadriplegia is catastrophic. Halfway through my letter describing several hurdles Tommy would expect in rehab, I stopped. I felt utterly overwhelmed thinking of all that lies ahead of him. I've been there, and even though a half a century has passed, I can still taste the anguish. Hot, silent tears began streaming, and I choked out a prayer. Oh God, how will Tommy do it? How will he ever make it? Have mercy, help him find you. Tommy is facing the impossible, and I'm sure he feels a little like this sketch. It's a copy of a drawing I did in rehab, holding charcoal pencils between my teeth. Although I tore up the original years ago when I was depressed, this sketch says it all. Oh God, this is now my life. You actually expect me to do this? Somehow I did it, or the Holy Spirit did it in me. As of today, I've done it for 50 years. Like Tommy, I was once the 17-year-old who retched at the thought of living without a working body. I hated my paralysis so much, I would drive my power wheelchair into the walls, repeatedly banging them until they cracked. Early on, I found dark companions who helped me numb my depression with scotch and cola. I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to die. What a difference time makes, as well as prayer, heaven-minded friends, and a deep study of God's word. All combined, I began to see that there are more important things in life than walking and having the use of your hands. It sounds incredible, but I really would rather be in this wheelchair, knowing Jesus as I do, than be on my feet without him. Wow. That is unshakable faith. I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Jesus as I do than be on my feet without him. How do we get faith like that? How do we get unshakable faith? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." Is your faith where you are today in this room? Is your faith unshakable? I'm not talking about major catastrophes like the loss of a child or the loss of your legs, but is your faith to be prepared to be unshakable even in normal stresses of daily life, like bills and conflict and bad neighbors and family drama and wayward kids and chaos and unanswered prayers? Is your faith able to be unshakable in just those things? You know, the question is not, can our faith stand unshakable? Is, will you allow your faith to be unshakable? Because the truth is, we all can have unshakable lives. But how did Noah and Johnny and the maze and Abraham and many others stand with faith that's unshakable? This is what I think. Those who stood with unshakable faith were secure in the God who loves and chose them. If you are a Christian, you are a child of God. There is no higher calling, and that is a pretty awesome statement that God calls us his kids. That means you are God's. God adopted you into his family. You are part of his forever family. He knows you, and he says to you, "You are mine." And when we can kind of fully accept and grasp this truth, it sustains us through the times when we feel lonely or rejected or unloved or betrayed. The idea that God never leaves us. This allows us to put our confidence and our trust in God and to have unshakable faith. You know, those who stand with unshakable faith are confident in all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign God. You know, the truth is God is so much bigger than any trial or problem life may throw at us. Nothing touches our lives that God doesn't know about. He knows what you went through yesterday and what you're going through today in this moment and what's going to happen tomorrow. Absolutely. God has the power and the authority to remove it from you, to take it away, to use it, and most certainly to walk you through it. And this truth helps us put our confidence and trust in God with unshakable faith. You know, those who stand with unshakable faith submit to God's will and plan. God does have a plan. He has a plan. Yet we still try to do things our own way. We still want control of our own lives. And we're so desperate to make sure that God doesn't screw up or that we get exactly what we want and desire. And it sounds so silly when we stop and we actually consider who God really is. You know, he's all-knowing. He knows every nook, turn, corner, all before we do. And when we submit every area of our lives to God, even the heartache, even the rejection, he will work his plan in his way. So submitting to God's plan helps us put our confidence and trust in God and allows us to have unshakable faith. You know, those who stand with unshakable faith stay alert and guard against temptation. There's so many things that are going to tempt you when you are down to turn away from Jesus, to turn away when things get tough. You might have a well-meaning friend who gives you some advice, but that advice is outside what God's word says. You may have a nudge that tells you, you know what, God really messed up here, so you might as well just go on your own and figure things out on yourself. You may say, you know what, God's word might say that, but you want to be happy, don't you? Just go ahead and do it anyways. You deserve to be happy. We'll have those nudges and those temptations that make us think, maybe God doesn't have this. Maybe God isn't right here. Maybe God has forgotten me. And those who stand with unshakable faith stay alert and they guard against those temptations. Those who stand with unshakable faith live by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, since Pentecost, if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living inside you. That is power. That is might. That is what is going to comfort you. And through that Holy Spirit, you can hear God's voice and you can feel the Spirit's promptings. And that Spirit is going to prompt you when you feel so weak and defeated. It's going to say, no, in your weakness, I can make you strong. And Scripture tells us that same power that actually rose Jesus from the grave, we have living inside us. That's not small power. That's awesome power. And when we live by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to say, you know what? This is not going to play me off my game. This is not going to shake my faith because I'm standing with unshakable faith right now. Man. Those who stood with unshakable faith connected to a local church. When God saved you, he saved you into the family of God. You have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can never be all that God intends us to be if we are not connected to the local church. It's the way he designed it. If you don't have a church home or you're not getting to church consistently, you are not able to support yourself so that you have unshakable faith. You have to connect to a local church. You have to consistently connect to a local church and allow your brothers and sisters to help you stand with unshakable faith. So where are you at this morning? Has something shaken your faith? You say, I'm not really all that stable right now in my faith. I'm a little shaky. I'm not really confident in my trust that God loves me or has a plan for me or knows what's best for me. But I want to stand with unshakable faith. I want it. I really want it. You can have it. You can have it. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Be secure in the fact that God loves you and he chose you. That's unbelievable. Be confident in the fact that God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's sovereign. It's the truth. You can't take that away from him. Submit to his ways and his plans. Stop playing God for your life. Allow him to be God. Be determined. Be determined to stay pure and holy in your relationships. And don't give in to those temptations when well-meaning people tell you, whatever makes you happy. Use the power given to you through the Holy Spirit to increase your faith in God. It's there. It's there for the using. And get connected to the church. You know, all these things are going to grow your faith. And when your faith is bigger and you've had some pressures put against you and you've had some surprises come your way, you're going to be so shocked that you're able to stand strong. That you're not tipping over. That you're not giving in so easily. Because your faith has learned to become unshakable. And that is our prayer for you at the Northside Community Church. That as you learn to live like you're loved, that you would stand like your faith is unshakable. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you never change. You are who you are. You are the I am. And nothing can ever be taken from you or added to you. Because you are just plain perfect. You are infinite in your power, in your mercy, in your love, in your knowledge. God, you are everything. And what a beautiful thing for us to base our faith on is something so perfect and so unchanging. So God, I know that there are many stories in this room. There are many heartaches. There are many dreams that have not been fulfilled. There are many desires that have not been met. There is many hurts that have not been healed. But Father, I pray in the power of your name, Jesus, that each person would have faith so huge, so strong, so full, that Lord, they would not be shaken when life happens. And just like those saints in Hebrews say, they didn't get all that was due for them. We know that there's a place called heaven for those who come to trust you. That is a place where we will get what is due us, God. So I pray for hope and faith in the hearts of these Northsiders, Father, that when time comes, their eyes would be so focused on what lies ahead of them that they would not become shaken. It's in your name we pray. Amen.